study together. And let's just look to the Lord's for help again. Father, we want to thank you again for your help that you've given thus far. And we thank you that we can give you the glory and the honor. And Father, we just would ask that as we look at this last giant in David's life, we would pray that you would use this to, again, speak to us and how important it is that we need one another and how important it is that we need to have our love in the right place. So we just give you thanks now and commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonder if you'd turn with me again then to 2 Samuel. And this time we're going to be looking at chapter 21, 2 Samuel chapter 21, toward the end of David's life. We have looked at the giant that David conquered, Goliath. And we saw that Goliath was a picture of the devil. We saw that Goliath was a picture of the adversary, Satan himself. And we saw that David was a beautiful picture and beautiful type of Christ. And he's also a picture of one who's living in conquering faith. Then not only did we see the devil, the giant that would picture the devil, but also the last two times together, we saw the idea that the other giant was the giant of the flesh that all of us fight, that we must reckon dead. And now in this session, we saw the giant that David conquered. We saw the giant that conquered David. And this session, we want to see the giant that David could not conquer alone. The giant that David could not conquer alone. And this giant, as we're going to see, is a picture of the world that you and I live in. And when we think about this, first off, let's just say that as we look at this, and maybe we just read the verse first. 2 Samuel 21, verse 15. When the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants went with him down and fought again against the Philistines. And David grew faint. Then Ishbi-benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought that he could kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. And then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. Then I want to just connect verse 18. Now it happened afterwards that there were again a battle in the Philistines at Gob. Then Sambatia, the Hittite, killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giant. And again there was war at Gob, and the Philistines were Elhanah, the son of Jerioam, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, and the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Then again there was war at Gath. And there was a man of great stature, whose 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeon, David's brother, killed him. Just that far. So we see these other giants, and we've already mentioned that each of them have a illustration for us. We want to focus in on this session in verse 16 on this giant, Ishbi-benob. And we have already said that his name means his dwelling is at Nob, and Nob means empty. And it reminds us, in the Word of God, it reminds us that this world in which we live in, there's really no satisfaction in this world for the spiritual man. It reminds us that if we're going to be a giant slayer, if we're going to be those that triumph, and we might say, to use this terminology, if we're going to be those that overcome by faith and live in the good of the great overcomer, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we cannot be dwellers of the city. We cannot be those that live in this world, those that dwell in the world. We want to be those that are in the world, but not of the world. And this is such a challenging thing for each one of us. As I share this with you, this is a very challenging thing in my life as well. To be in the world and to be a part of the world in the sense that you want to be a testimony to those around, but yet not letting the world squeeze you into its mold. Not letting this world affect you. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed. Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's the challenge, is not to be conformed to this world, but to be in the world, to be able to point the world to Jesus Christ. And so this is the challenge that we have. And in fact, it says in the book of James, in chapter 4, it reminds us that maybe we'll just turn there and then go to 1 John after that. In James chapter 4, it reminds us that friendship with the world is enmity with God. James chapter 4, he says this. James chapter 4, he says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What a sobering statement that he makes here. He says you cannot love this world and still be a friend of God. We're told that Abraham is called a friend of God. And Abraham looked out of the world of his day. And Abraham told Lot that wherever you choose, if you choose this, then I'll go there. Abraham was not restricted. Abraham was not confined. Abraham was not conformed to the world. He says, I'll take whatever. I just want to get by and I just want to live here for the glory of God. I'm not going to be weighed down. And what do we find? Lot chose the world. Lot looked at what was pleasing to the eyes and Lot was drawn to that. And then next thing we know, he's camping outside the city. Then we see that he's camping in the city gate. And next thing we know, he's consumed by the world of his day. And so what do we find? We find that Lot has to come, one who's not attached to that world. He has to come to Lot's rescue, because we're told in the book of Hebrews that Abraham was one of those that lived for another world. Abraham didn't live for this world, but he lived for another world whose builder and maker was God. And so he had his eyes focused on something else. So this is the challenge for us today. In 1 John chapter 2, there's further instructions. In 1 John chapter 2, we're told in verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What a challenge. Don't love the world or the things that are in the world. It's so easy for us to live for prosperity. It's so easy for us to live for that almighty dollar. And that's what consumes us. And we work till all ends of the day. And we're tired. And then we come home. And we have no time for the Lord or the Lord's things. And so it's so easy to let the world squeeze us into that mold. And we leave God out of the picture. And pretty soon we find that what really takes preeminence in our life is not the Lord, but it's that job. Because we've got to make that dollar. Because we've got to have this and we've got to have that and we need this. We have bills and on it goes. It's a matter of prioritizing and where does God fit in those priorities. And so this is a very practical aspect when we think about this idea of loving the world. It isn't saying, well, I love the world and all the sin that's in it. No, but it's the system of the world. It's the mindset of the world that influences the Christian. That how much is enough? A little bit more. Right? I need a little bit more. Rockefeller, one of the richest men, was asked, well, how much is enough money? He said, $1 more. I just need a little bit more. And that's the mindset in the world. And that's the mindset that has crept into Christianity today. That we need a little bit more.